Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Now that's really the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net, and I have to tell you, last week was an amazing week. We saw some rock cracking that just broke open the United States Senate. Harry Reid, the majority leader of the United States Senate, will no longer be majority leader come January because of the American people standing up to the way that he has just defiled the work of democracy. And he has teamed up with Barack Obama, kept any legislation that might help the economy. He's kept it, the House would pass it, and it just die on his desk. And now Harry Reid will no longer be stopping the good legislation coming out of the House. The Senate and the House will work together, and hopefully President Barack Obama will want to help America and get good legislation passed and signed into law. We'll wait and see on that, but you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and we are still celebrating a big victory, a big wave last week in the midterm elections. Not everything went the Republican way, but it was a big night, and we're going to be talking to Chad Groening from OneNewsNow.com, and he is a conservative reporter and not ashamed to be a conservative reporter. We're going to bring him on. He's been on before this show, and he's got some interesting insight. Now, Chad does not live in Ohio, but he grew up in Ohio, and he calls Ohio his home. He'll have some interesting points. We're going to ask him about Ohio because I think something to do with the 2016 elections could be starting, and you haven't heard this anywhere else, but Doc Holliday wants to bring out the best you, my listeners, as we together we study what the tea leaves may bring about the upcoming presidential election. The midterms are over. The race for the White House 2016 has begun, and we're going to just decipher it and dig down into it. But before we do, I do have a little parting gift for former Majority Leader Harry Reid, a gift of a little song. This is what I'd like to leave Harry Reid with.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
Can you see Harry Reid just dancing a jig that another one bites the dust as he hauls himself out of the majority leader's office? Now, I've been in the majority leader's office right there in the Capitol building overlooking the mall. And I remember the one of the sayings was Ronald Reagan's there one time and Howard Baker is the majority leader. And Howard Baker said, "I think this is the best view in Washington." And Ronald Reagan said, "You know, Howard, I like to think it's the second best view in Washington." So anyway, it will be cleared out by Majority Leader Harry Reid, and Mitch McConnell will be coming in. And if I had a song for Mitch McConnell, they were playing this song at his victory celebration. Take a listen to this, and in your mind, visualize Kentucky's Mitch McConnell dancing away, dancing a jig, coming into the majority leader's big wide office overlooking the Washington Mall with the Washington Monument far in the distance from the U.S. Capitol.
The man that was built to survive, it's deep.
Well, America, that's Doc Holliday's take of the changing of the guard at the majority leader's office at the United States Capitol. But now it's time to listen to my good friend, Chad Groening, a reporter, a conservative reporter, onenewsnow.com. Check him out. And Chad, what do you think?
Well, Ed, it's always a pleasure to be on your program and everything. And I'll tell you, I think I share the sentiments of a lot of conservative-minded correspondents and analysts around the country. This was a tsunami. This was an absolute blowout. And I'm really disappointed that one of my good contacts, Bob Beaupre, did not get it done in the governor's race in Colorado. And of course, there was the problem with Pennsylvania. But aside from those two races, the Senate was pretty much, it could have been maybe better, but...
Well, you call it I've heard everybody's calling a Republican wave, but you think it's big enough to call it a tsunami, huh?
Well, I think a tsunami has more of a sound to it, Yeah.
We did have Scott Brown in New Hampshire that almost got it, but he didn't quite make it. Of course, that you can't ask for perfection. And like you said, your friend and Bob Beaupre, and he's a friend of this show. He's been on this show before, and always kid everybody because he remembers our show because he's got a horse named Doc Holliday, but he does have a lot of influence, and I hope he'll have continued success and be an influential out in Colorado for the conservative movement. But going back, let's just take it one step at a time. Let's look at the Senate. What do you see? We're at +7 for sure, and for some reason they haven't called Alaska, but I think it looks very good. Have you heard anything about Alaska yet?
Well, nothing finalized. Of course, with the Louisiana probability of Mary Landrieu losing in the runoff on December the 6th, it could be as high as 9 seats, which they needed 6. Every extra seat advantage is important when battling the forces of Harry Reid, and it was better than I think some people anticipated, and it's really a shame that the Mr. Gillespie didn't quite pull off that huge upset, but he fell a little bit short too. That was another one that I think shocked everybody, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah, now that was a shocker, and we as far as the Senate, he was running. I remember seeing him 20 points down, and they got to 10, and some polls had it starting to get down to 8 or 9, but nobody would thought it would have been that close. Of course, he led most of the night, and then the later boxes coming in from Northern Virginia near D.C. were very liberal, and even now, if they go to a recount, there could be something come out. I doubt it, but it's not 100% over yet.
Yeah, well, I tell you, those recounts, though, they usually don't go too good for the Republican Party, as you remember from that horrible recount in 2008 when
Minnesota. That's what you're talking about.
When Al Franken stole the election, I think just about everybody, every individual believes that same individual believes that was a stolen election, and I guess to take a few moments to just be thankful that there wasn't more of that in this election. I guess it was such a blowout that
some of the polling booths that some of the computers when people try to vote Republican that came out Democrat, and you hope those things were worked out before hundreds of people, and surely the people would have noticed it, and so hopefully we didn't have too much under the radar of voting going on. I know there's always something going to be going on, just like you said, with Al Franken in 2008. And I was, there's a part of me that wished he had gotten bit back this year running for re-election, but he handedly won in Minnesota.
Yeah, well, Minnesota is a very, very, it's a very, pretty much a lost cause. I mean, it's pretty blue, and Michelle Bachmann, the one bright spot in that state, she's basically retiring, and I think she probably didn't have much of a choice. I think they pretty well demonized her to the point where you got to wonder whether she could have gotten even reelected this year if she had decided to run. But
well, we were talking about the blue, and I don't want to get us down in the blues because there was a tsunami, it was a big wave, and the Republicans caught the wave, and we look across and where you said could even get up to 9 seats before it's over with. but definitely have control of the United States Senate. So I guess one of the bright shining stars was it wasn't even close in the state of Arkansas, where Mark Pryor, the incumbent Democrat, whose father had been a previous senator, and he'd been there, I believe, 18 years, and he just got blown out of water by a young congressman who was just in his first or second term in Congress and jumped right in to challenge the incumbent senator and really did an outstanding job.
Well, I think that Tom Cotton and a lot of the other victories that the GOP witnessed, were because of Barack Obama. Clearly, this was a referendum on Barack Obama and his 6 years of failed presidency. This man is been a despicable excuse for a president, and I think last night Tuesday night he got it. He got the message, and I was a little bit. I guess I wasn't surprised at his arrogance, on Wednesday, where he basically said, "Well, I'm gonna do what I want to do, regardless of what the GOP tries to do." So, I can foresee quite a bit of conflict in the next 2 years remaining on his term.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, and I guess being a correspondent, you did say you're a conservative correspondent, so you're not trying to be neutral. I take it you don't care much for President Obama and his policies.
I wouldn't be on your show if I did.
Okay. Well,
I don't think that you would be
Well, I do. Well, let me push you on something. You said it'd be a lot of contention, but this is something that I read with the Republicans taking over the Senate. Now they will not have an excuse. They've got to pass legislation in the House. They can get it through the Senate, and it may be vetoed. But they need to pass bills. They need to show the American people that the Republicans can govern. Back when George W. Bush was president, they had the House and the Senate. The Republicans did. And then in 2006, they lost the House and the Senate. And of course, 2008, they lost the White House. And it happened very quickly. And so the Republicans were thrown out of power because the American people didn't like the way they were governing. Now, can the Republicans come together and show the American people that, yes, we can govern. We may not get along with the president, but we can show you, we'll model you what we want to do for helping America build an economy and build security. So, well, how do you see the next 2 years? You think it'll be all contentious, or do you think they can actually show America that the Congress can at least get things done?
Well, I think people are using the term govern, and I'm not sure that really that govern is the absolute best word, because the president of the United States, it's the legislative branch that pretty well governs the executive branch. The legislative branch makes the laws, and the executive branch is opposed to carry out those laws. So what I see is the new Senate and the much enhanced House being a check against further, intrusions on our liberties by this administration. Until we get an actual Republican president, I don't think Republicans can really govern per se, and at least in my take on it. But they certainly can set policy through the laws that they pass and through not allowing Obama to appoint crazy, really wacko left-wing justices anymore either. I mean, those two justices that he appointed were absolutely, good grief.
They're on the far liberal side, and he got them through. But bringing that up, Eric Holder has resigned. They're going to have to replace Eric Holder. Do you think they'll do that in a lame duck session of Congress?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There is no way that Obama is going to be able to get any kind of ideologue, any kind of rogue type of Eric Holder replacement with the new Senate. The new Senate won't tolerate it. Yeah. So to answer your question, Ed, I am very concerned. I think, as a lot of people are, that who knows what Harry Reid is going to try to do. In the lame duck session, I think a lot of rogue appointments may try to shove them through. Bad judges, bad who knows what. Fortunately, I think the Supreme Court's not going to be affected until the new Senate is seated, unless something happens in the next several months.
It has to happen in the next several weeks, because about 2 months, before the new Senate will take effect. But going back, we've talked about the Senate, and then I know we could talk a lot more. We need to move on because the state houses, the governors, there was a tsunami with Republican governors where this is the one thing before November 4th, the Democrats said, well, we may lose some in the Senate, but we will win more governors. But they were wrong on that.
Well, except as we mentioned, you know, the defeat of Bob Beaupre, and of course the deal with Casey in Pennsylvania, and I'm going to do some more checking and doing some stories on that. It's just exactly why that was, but you look at Michigan, the governor there got reelected, Ohio big time reelected, Indiana is already there. It's Republican. He didn't run. He was elected a year or so ago. Then we've got Illinois, huge upset there, Republican with victory. Then, of course, Scott Walker winning re-election in Wisconsin.
You got the Midwest. The Midwest is covered with Republican governors now.
Yes, at least until you get to the border there with Minnesota. And I think Iowa, as I recall, I think Iowa also has a Republican governor.
Right, so, they do. Yeah, he got elected for record number of times.
And Brownback also, some people thought that he was going to get defeated. He ended up coming through and winning.
Right. So in fact, Brownback was behind by over 10 points just about a month ago. So he's he's really come on up and won.
And see, the governors are going to be the key in the next stage because governors have such an influence, as you know, Ed, in the presidential sweepstakes. And with so many Republican governors, and we're talking about quality governors here. These are not just... I mean, you had Meredith Cowan in Oklahoma. You know, you had just some of the ladies who are Republican governors also.
And that's Susan Martinez in New Mexico, I believe. See that?
Yes, exactly. And of course, you know, the lady in South Carolina. So
Nikki Haley, yeah.
So you've got just an incredibly deep and Mary Fallon in Oklahoma. So you've got just an incredible amount of quality in these state houses, and I tell you, Ed, and I know this is kind of a segue. I know that you were going to segue. I think that the next president of the United States should come out of the crop of governors that we have right now. That is my own personal opinion about the matter.
Well, you know, one of the things, and you mentioned that we're talking about governors, and to me, I'll just tell my listeners, I feel like the biggest winner of the election night was none other than Ohio's governor, John Kasich. And the reason why is because, of course, Ohio, there's no Republican that ever become president without taking Ohio in modern history and in modern times. So Ohio has to be taken. John Kasich won by like 65%, just swept through the blue precincts of places like Cleveland. And how do you see that playing? Do you think that helps his presidential chances if he decides to run for president, which I really think he will?
Well, you know, of course, I grew up in Ohio, and I consider it to be my home state, really, even though I don't live there right now. I have a lot of loyalty to Ohio. I felt it was a great place to grow up. And Ohio, Ed, as you know, is the most typical state as far as it represents the country as a whole more than any other state.
Tell our listeners why it represents the country more than any other state. I know you've told me that before, but our listeners like to hear that.
If you have a map of Ohio, if you look at the northern part of Ohio, it is like the northeastern part of the United States. The Cleveland area, that area, very liberal. Toledo, that area, also liberal. As you work south, you work towards the state capital of Columbus, you get more conservative, just like you do on the map of the United States. And when you get down to my part of the state, I grew up in Dayton, of course, that's my hometown, and then Cincinnati, then you're talking about more the southern type of conservatism. So Ohio, if you superimpose a big map of Ohio on the United States, you could pretty much see that it would represent the kind of population of the country as a whole. That's why it's always been a swing state, and that's why it's always been such a barometer for presidential elections, because it does represent the population of the United States as a whole. And you just mentioned John Kasich. For him to win that big in Ohio is huge. And I've been talking about this to the people that I know. I have thought a long time that this guy was going to be a factor for 2016. And now it's starting.
And, Chad,
now,
Let me stop right here just a second. Remind our listeners, we are going to talk a little more about something about John Kasich and the Republican nomination that could be huge playing in the state of Ohio. But first, let me remind you, you're listening to Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and we're speaking to reporter Chad Groening, and we're just talking about the midterm elections, and we're going to get to a very important thing about the Republican nomination and John Kasich. And before we do, I want to remind you to go to my website. We're more than just a radio show. You can go there and you click on and you can order the book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And we'll be glad you get that book. Get one for yourself and one for your liberal friends, or get two or three for your liberal friends, and help spread out the message of conservatism. Now, let's get back to you, Chad. We're glad you're visiting with us. We got Chad Groening right here, and we are sort of taking down the midterm elections, and we're talking about the governors, and we mentioned John Kasich being probably the biggest winner. In my estimation, is like an underwater earthquake. It's happened, but the tsunami from that night really is not taking effect because people don't realize how it can propel John Kasich. Now, tell us a little bit more. There's something interesting about Ohio and Republican nomination, because where's the convention going to be in 2016 for the Republicans, Chad?
I do believe that it's going to be in Cleveland.
That would be Cleveland, Ohio, no doubt.
Yes, in the liberal part of the state, of course, which is kind of interesting, but still very significant. And can you imagine how dramatic it will be if John Kasich does indeed move and become the nominee and in his own home state and in Cleveland, and when the Ohio delegation is called and.
Yeah, of course, for our listeners,
nomination and
Chad, everybody knows, you and me know, keep up politics. For our listeners, let them know whenever someone's in their home, they usually, the nominee, they'll let the state delegation give the votes that carry the nominee over the threshold to make him the official nominee. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what you're saying. Now, go ahead and explain what would happen if John Kasich was to accept the nomination there in Cleveland, Ohio.
So set it up this way. Yes, if he were from another state, they would have let the other state's delegation do it. But imagine the Ohio delegation in Ohio, Republican National Convention 2016, being able to put in nomination the governor of Ohio on Ohio soil by the Ohio delegation. And this man and his incredible record as a governor, what he's done to the economy of that state, you know, has been amazing. I think it's a great scenario. Will it happen? We don't know. Long way to go, Ed. But I can tell you. let me just throw it out there, folks.
Okay.
you're listening to the Doc Holliday show, and I'm telling you, you may be hearing a prediction that's going to come true.
Well, I talked last week. I was telling everybody about, you know, you can list about 20 people who could possibly be run for the Republican nominee. It's easy to find 20 people that could actually run. I mean, I can go over it right now. It could be Chris Christie, Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Governor Walker in Wisconsin, Rick Santorum, Mike Pence, Rob Portman, Peter King, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Rick Perry, Bobby Jindal, Susan Martinez, Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney, Condoleezza Rice. I mean, there's more. But what would happen if somebody like John Kasich started assembling top talent and people who have backed Mitt Romney and John McCain? They, you know, if the big money backers, if they start looking at who do we need, and they see that a nominee or a potential candidate like John Kasich can bring home Ohio like a slam dunk, that's so important because Ohio is needed. Now, can Chris Christie bring home New Jersey? That's a big if. I don't see
it. Yeah. Well, and here's something else to throw out, too. We talked about the governors in other states that won. You've got other Republican governors in other states who are going to help Kasich or whatever, too. Imagine Michigan. their governor helping out Michigan. You've got Indiana. You've got Rick Scott getting reelected in Florida. He will be a big help to whoever is the nominee of the Republican Party also in that critical swing state. So you've got all these governors, Kasich maybe, in my estimation, being the top dollar in the nominee, but you've got all these governors in these Republican states helping out in that effort.
Well, you know, that's right. Rick Scott, you know, he looked like he was a goner 6 months ago. I mean, he's 20 points behind. And he came in and won about one percentage point, but he won. Rick Scott won the Republicans keeping the governorship in Florida, which is an important swing state. You look at Ohio or Florida, and, you know, the Republicans have not won Michigan in many years in presidential sweepstakes. Just think what would happen if Snyder could start working now and working toward getting Republicans to get out and vote, to get out the vote. And even in states like we see what Texas will do, some big states like Texas, but what if you could get John Kasich working hard in the Midwest? I mean, could you even bring Minnesota into the territory? Nothing's impossible. So,
well, you know, if he can carry the big states of the Midwest and the South, he can win the election. You know,
well, it would be huge. And
you know, I mean, you know, you talk about Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana, and you know, Florida and Texas. You start having those kind of states, maybe even Pennsylvania. You know, you can pretty well, and of course, west out until you get to California and Oregon and Washington. You know, you've got all those those Rocky Mountain states. They're heavily Republican. You know,
obviously, so yeah, I mean,
it's way too early to talk.
Yeah, we're speculating, but I wanted my listeners to be the first to hear this because nobody's talking about it. And like I said, it's like an underwater earthquake. And one day I think people will be talking about it more, but then go back and listen to Chad Groening and Doc Holliday talking about it, because it's very, very visual for you and me to see what could happen. And I love Ben Carson. I told our listeners I met Ben Carson a couple months ago, and I'd love to see him run for president. But what John Kasich brings, and some of our listeners don't know, he's not just been reelected as governor of Ohio, but he was in the Congress for many years as a young man and was on the budget committee. He knows budgets. He knows how to get budgets together. He has so much experience on Capitol Hill.
And here's something else about him. He was on the Fox News Channel filling in for Bill O'Reilly and others. He is good with talking, and he could debate Hillary Clinton and put her away in a debate. John Kasich can debate any Democrat. He is articulate, and he's a fighter, and he will not be intimidated by the left wing media either. He will be able to handle that, and that has to be done. That's what they need more than anything, is just somebody that can handle the media, and John Kasich can.
Well, you know, and the word that comes to me is experience, proven leader. You know, those three words. Here we are, and people say, well, Doc Holliday, are you pushing John Kasich? I'm not saying I'm getting behind anyone now. I'm just telling you the reality that Chris Christie and some of these others, especially some people talking about Mitt Romney trying to run again, I don't think anybody can match John Kasich, because he is conservative, where those two are more liberal, or more to the moderate. I won't call them liberal, but they're more moderate. Now, John Kasich could run into primary trouble. Everybody says, well, look, he's not real conservative because he put Medicaid in Ohio. What do you think about that, Chad?
Well, you know, somebody told me, a good friend of mine, Phil Burris, who I interview quite a bit, he's in Ohio, he's a good friend of mine, he says he's about an 80-20 in some aspects. And, you know, nobody's perfect in everything. And you know, he made that decision based on what he felt like was the best for the people of the state of Ohio. And
you're right.
I wouldn't have done it. But then again, you know, he's the governor of Ohio and I'm not. So,
well, some of our listeners might be
elected by a huge margin. So, you know, I mean, you know,
I just want to make sure our listeners know what I was talking about, because I said Medicaid. Of course, all states have Medicaid, but what I'm talking about, he is one of the Republican governors that instituted Medicaid through Obamacare to the low-income workers and the low-income citizens of Ohio. Now, a lot of governors, over 25 of them, Republican governors, have not instituted that, but John Kasich did, and there's some conservatives might say, hey, you're not conservative enough for me. And like you just said, one of your friends there in Ohio that's very influential, Phil Burris, has said, you know, you get 80-20, and, you know, an 80-20, Ronald Reagan said, if somebody agrees with me 80% of the time, they're not my enemy, and, you know, they're my friend. And so John Kasich might be able to get through the primaries, and then that would just help him be able to reach out, even though he's conservative, he can reach out to moderate America and build a coalition. And that's what it takes to win elections.
And I think that he could be appeal to both the establishment Republicans and to the Tea Party types. I think some Tea Party types may not be as, you know, endeared to him perhaps as I am and perhaps others are, like even perhaps you would be. But what we have to see is the election of a Republican who can win the presidency.
Well, that's exactly why I love Ted Cruz, and I'd like to see him run for president. But when you look at the proven leadership of John Kasich and the fact that he can bring Ohio, it will be hard for people to say, oh, I'd rather take a chance on someone else. When you got a proven leader that can bring Ohio, it's almost like, okay, you know what? You have to ask other candidates, can you guarantee me Ohio? And I don't think anybody can guarantee it like John Kasich can.
Well, you know, and I've had several people say, well, what about Rick Santorum? They think the Rick Santorum is the most conservative guy. I've had several pundits tell me that. Well, Rick Santorum lost his Senate seat, you know. So what good is that going to do? I mean, you know, you've got somebody, and he wasn't governor of Pennsylvania. He was a senator. So you've got to be pragmatic in this stuff too, Ed. And it just looks so logical. And I like Scott Walker too, but Wisconsin is not as big a state on the political map as Ohio.
Yeah,
not the blue state. You know, he would be great too. And believe me, if Scott Walker is the nominee, by golly, he'd be a great president. But I think Kasich, because he's from Ohio, and he may not even be as conservative as Walker, but he's from Ohio.
Yeah. Well, I think we're making this the John Kasich for president show. But what we're doing is bringing some things out that are out for anybody to see, but nobody's talking about it. But Doc Holliday, Chad Groening, Chad, we got to finish up here in a minute. We hadn't even talked about the House of Representatives. John Boehner has increased the lead, and he'll have more Republican members in the House since World War II. And some people said all the way back to 1928 since they've had this many Republicans in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, another Ohioan, I believe I wanted to point out, John Boehner and John Kasich.
Oh, my. I hadn't thought about that. Ohio's getting a lot of power in there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's what it is. And
You're a proud Ohioan.
and Kentucky to the south is going to have the senator, so who's going to be the next Senate Majority Leader.
And that's One News Now. .com reporter. And I just have to tell you that Chad has a couple of great nuggets. Is number one, the Republican nominee in 2016 will be given the nomination in Cleveland, Ohio. And also is pointing out that not only is John Kasich a front runner for the presidency, but John Boehner is also from Ohio and just one state down, Mitch McConnell, Majority Leader. So a lot of power concentrated there. I hope you enjoyed the show and hope you've learned some things. Go out and tell your friends you heard it first at Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics that John Kasich, Governor John Kasich, is now the front runner for the nomination for the Republican Party in 2016. That's just the way it is. Now, next week, we'll have another exciting show. I do want to remind you, there was history made last week. Tim Scott, South Carolina, he had been appointed, but first African-American senator from the South in the old Confederate states since Reconstruction. Congratulations, Senator Tim Scott and Mia Love. She had run 2 years before, but African-American, first female African-American congressman, Republican congresswoman now. So congratulations to Mia Love for winning in Utah. Great history made last week all across America. You heard things here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics that you won't hear anywhere else, and we will see you next week. God bless.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.